Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I'm Christine Lakin, and we are back with Will Friedle Part 2, talking all about some of his strangest fan encounters and the anxiety that kept him away from the camera for several years. Enjoy.
The worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny.
That's amazing. Okay, let's talk about the conventions for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, because
you do a lot of them.
I do. I love them.
Yeah. You have traveled all over the world. Is it mostly, what are the biggest fans? Is it mostly the Batman people? Is it the Transformers people? Is it the Boy Meets World people?
It depends where you go and who you're with.
Okay.
How much do you charge for an autograph?
It depends where you go.
Give me the lowest to the highest.
They're usually autographs and selfie. You're usually looking anywhere between 40 and 60.
Wow.
For you.
Yeah.
That's good.
And it depends on where you go. Again, I did Awesome Con last weekend, which is in DC, 70,000 people. And I brought Ben and Ryder. So that was mostly Boy Meets World people. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of Batman. Batman was a huge show. So there's a lot of Batman people, but mostly Boy Meets World.
So how does it work? Do they contact you? They fly you out, accommodations?
Well, yeah, you have a booking agent. You have a con booking agent.
Okay.
And,
I need a con booking agent.
For what?
For PodCon.
Oh, PodCon, nice. I like that. But no, they're all over the world. We did Australia last year, and it's a great opportunity for my wife and I to travel. So we're we just did DC. We're doing Detroit after that. Then we're going to New Zealand for 2 weeks.
Any scary situations?
Amazing. None.
I would think I don't want to say those people. I don't want to say that. Sorry.
First of all, if all of the world was a convention, the world would be the greatest place to live.
Oh my God. You are such a nerd.
Well, no, it's not only that, but it's also amazingly inclusive.
I don't know. Hold on a second. I went to a convention with Christine once.
Which one?
The one that was in Burbank.
Okay, right that by. One's weird.
yeah, that's
and
different.
I was
in that's Los different. Angeles, they're a little different.
I literally was scared for my life.
Yeah, no, it's different.
Shut up.
You go to these places, there's like huge LGBTQ community, huge women empowerment community. You see people bumping into each other.
We didn't see that. We didn't see that.
That one was a little odd.
The guy with the jersey, that remember him with the at the photo? Do you remember him,
yeah.
Christine?
Yeah.
There was a lot of crazy. I literally was like, we got to get out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, no, we didn't. I have one. So I have one. Crazy is not the right word. She's very eccentric.
Okay.
She doesn't come to the United States, but she follows me all around the world, literally, to where she's been to every city I've gone to in Canada. She came to Wales. She came to the Australian cons. And here's the thing that's odd. She won't. So you do these things called photo ops. So there's a number of different things you do at a convention. You sit and you meet the fans. You sit behind a table. They wait in line. They come. There's 20 different pictures on your table. They pick the one they want. You sign a picture. You do a selfie. You have a little conversation with them. They're all the nicest people. They're huge fans. Right. It's really cool. And then you do photo ops, which is they bring you in to a room that's literally curtained off. It's usually like 20 by 20, curtained off, with an X in the middle of the room, a camera in front of it. You stand on the X and a line of people wait, and they literally come in and go, ready, and you put your arm around someone. You go, hi, click, thank you, next, hi, click, and you go through the line of people. So she only comes to the photo ops. She will not face the camera. So she has 20 or so photos of just the back of her head with me in the foreground. Her in the foreground. Me, yeah, and with the back of her head. I'll show you guys later.
Is she like, what's her name?
One of the pictures.
What's the girl that wrote Chandelier?
Sia.
She likes Sia.
Oh yeah, maybe it's like a Sia.
I don't know. She's very sweet. She's a very sweet girl. She just doesn't really want her.
How old
there.
Is she?
I'd say she's mid 20s.
Really?
She's an attractive girl. She's traveling the world. So she's
how would we know?
Money.
We can't see her.
Exactly. I've seen her. But when I was pretty floored when I saw her in Australia, because it was like, you just flew to Australia.
And where's
and at both conventions.
Yeah.
Where's she getting the money?
Who knows?
Can we get her on the podcast?
I don't know. But
can you ask her
next time you see her? You see her in New Zealand, ask
I will,
her.
I will, because that's what everyone says. They're like, she's going to come to New Zealand. But again, she's been very nice. I have, and I hope I'm not jinxing myself when I say this. I have yet to have a bad experience at a convention. They are all the nicest people in the world. They're very passionate about what they do. This kind of, I live in my mother's basement and I smell bad and have no teeth thing just isn't what it's like anymore. And at these conventions, mind you, it's the actors that they bring in are you've got the half the Avengers are there, Jeremy Renner's there. And there's some sick kind of talent that are coming to these things.
In the con world, because now I'm fascinated. I can't wait to start PodCon.
PodCon.
Is there a status thing in the sense of like where they put you? Like, I mean, how does that work? Do you get?
I was three tables away from Renner.
Yeah, like
I'm moving
like,
up in the ranks. Like,
I mean, is there a thing?
No, it's not a stat. No.
Like, I mean, are you next to George Takei or what's like what's?
No,
happening?
Again, they're gonna put like voiceover actors with voiceover actors okay. because they know that people want to go and like if you want to meet voiceover right. actors, you're gonna go over there. Then there are like super A-list people. You know who does them all the time now? Which again, I've talked to him a couple times, and it's still odd for me that he's there. Is John Cusack? Is at like almost all of these things.
Wow.
Val Kilmer is at a whole bunch of these.
Well, John Cusack's, no offense, and I think he's brilliant.
He's awesome.
He's a little...
But aren't we all in the, at the end
he's
of the day?
He's a little off.
But no, it's all the actors at, you know, you've got a green room and everybody's chilling out and talking and you never know who you're going to be sitting down and yeah. talking with and joking with, and it's a ton of fun. Really.
Is there a cheese plate?
No, there's like spreads and there'll be massage tables.
And do you get like a Wrangler and a whole like...
Yeah, I mean, and it's again, it's one of those things where they're not handing you cash, you know.
Are they flying you first class?
Yeah.
They're putting you up in the hotel?
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you do it?
I know.
Right.
Sounds fun. I can't wait for PodCon. Are they... How often are you doing these cons?
I'll try to do one a month if I can. You know, I love to travel. I mean, I'm a big fan of traveling. My wife and I travel very well together. We love being together on the road.
No kids?
I have a stepdaughter who's 27, so no.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I love it. And I genuinely, and you know, people are always giving lip service because he's talking about it. I genuinely love talking to fans. Like, I really do. Not just fans of mine, but fans of nerddom. I love talking to comic book fans, and I love talking to animation fans. I love talking to D&D fans. And we'll sit there and we'll have a conversation. You'll be walking the floor looking at some of these brilliant artists or some of the work they're doing. And I'll pass somebody with a Critical Role t-shirt, for instance. And I'll have a 20-minute conversation about Dungeons & Dragons. Oh, my God, what do you play? What's your campaign going? It is, if you're a nerd, it's the greatest thing in the world. And again, you're in a place where you see two people bump into each other. They both turn and automatically go, oh, excuse me, I'm so sorry. It's the greatest place to be.
It's like...
There's
it's
no awesome. Booze.
There's booze.
Yeah, there's
okay.
booze.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like adult Disney, fantasy Disneyland.
It is. It's awesome. And if there's something, there's truly something for everybody. There's funny, you know, they do this thing called Twisted Tunes where some of the greatest voiceover actors get together on stage and read like crazy, you know, they'll read Star Wars in different voices and they'll do, it's so, there's panels for every actor. So there's just interviews with every actor you want to go see. Oh my God, Jeremy Renner's up there with, you know, anybody. For instance, John Boyega was at the last one I was at. I mean, Star Wars just came out on DVD.
Right.
He's one of the biggest actors in the world. Pacific Rim was coming out that Friday, and I'm sitting there having a conversation with him in the green room before he goes out for his panel. I mean, it's just the coolest.
Have you done Comic-Con? Like the
I have done San Diego Comic-Con. You don't there isn't signing at San Diego Comic-Con.
Right. It's just more exhibited.
And there's just it's come to the point for me where there's just too many people. It's when it takes you 45 minutes to walk half a block because you are swarmed and wedged in there. It's just, it's not even an anxiety thing for me. It's just too much.
Well, I'm glad that you're mentioning the anxiety thing because you mentioned it earlier just briefly. So you...
Yeah, let's go back to that. When did anxiety start for you?
I was in the middle of a take shooting a movie called H-E Double Hockey Sticks. They used the take. So I'm the only one who notices it, but I can go first panic attack ever and point to it.
So this happened.
I suffer from panic disorder.
Yeah, me too.
So this happened after Boy Meets World.
During.
Oh, this was during.
If you go back and you watch Boy Meets World, the first like 4 or 5 seasons, I was in great shape, razor thin. And then I come back and I'm like 40 pounds heavier. And it's because I was medicated. It was the only way I could get on.
See, I had my first, because I've always been curious about this because I had my first panic attack in Orlando, Florida. It was after high school, and I was driving, and I literally thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
And no, you can't explain it to people because you're like, it just, your heart's racing. You can't catch your breath. All you want is like cool air. You just want like cool air. Oh. You can't. And I literally drove myself to the hospital. They're like, nothing's wrong with you, blah, blah, blah. All right. I talked to my neighbors, like my mentor from high school, my music teacher. His wife suffers from panic disorder.
Okay.
I'm 17 years old, 16, 17 years old. I don't know what's going on. I literally, every like day or so, I will have this like huge like anxiety attack, not knowing what it is, thinking I'm dying. She finally looked at me and she goes, "You're having a panic attack." And as soon as she said those words, it was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So then I go to the doctor and I go, I've been getting these panic attacks. He goes, oh, I'll just prescribe you some Xanax. And I said, I don't want Xanax.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which I was like, I mean, 16, 17 years old. I come from a family that loves to medicate. Prescription medication is the treatment for everything. And I just never wanted to be that person. So she just told me, my friend's mom said, what I do is I breathe in for 5 seconds, I hold it for 5 seconds, and I release it for five seconds.
Yep.
So I would start doing that, slowing my heart rate down. Mm-hmm. And then I literally would sit, if I'm having a panic attack, and even if you're a stranger, I will look at you and go, just so you know, I'm having a panic attack right now. Just want to let it out there. Because the more you try to hide it and hold it in, the worse the panic attack gets, right?
Talking about it is the greatest thing you can do.
It's the best thing you can do. Yeah.
So, okay. Wow. Okay,
also, counting back for the other thing for the 5 by 5 5 5 was great. But the other thing you do is you also want your brain to start to concentrate on something else.
Right.
So you count backwards from 100 to 0 by threes.
That's another great thing to do.
And you just sit there, and by the time you're in the mid 40s, you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot I was in the middle of a panic attack.
How old are you when you have your first one?
23.
And it's in the middle of a take.
Yeah.
And
I did not go to the doctor. I didn't know what was happening. And the problem is when you don't know what's happening, like you were talking about,
it's terrifying.
And you don't talk to anybody, you start to what I call spiral.
Sure.
Where now you're in your head. Now you can't sleep. And then not sleeping is another trigger for anxiety. So it's one giant kind of circle where you are perpetuating what's happening. And it got bad to the point where I was like, I can't go back and be on Boy Meets World. I can't be in front of an audience. It's terrifying. Yeah. And my doctor said, we got to give you some. Because I was like you, where my family didn't medicate, but I didn't want to be medicated, but I had no choice. So medication worked for me exactly the way it was supposed to, where I was on medication for probably about 4 years, 5 years. I got it under control. I was able to handle it more internally. Now I carry Ativan with me if I need it.
Right.
And I'll get a prescription of 30, and one prescription of 30 will last me 8 months.
Okay. So what triggers it for you?
I have different triggers. No sleep triggers it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have what's called anticipatory anxiety. So if I'm going to fly in 3 weeks, I will start getting anxious about it.
That's me.
But the thing that's amazing is now I'm flying. Now flying is part of my job.
Yeah.
Because I go to these conventions.
That's all I do is fly.
And I know for a fact the second I sit on the plane, I'm fine.
I'm the worst flyer ever. Yeah. I have to booze. I mean, I'm literally...
I can't booze.
Oh, if the flight's at 7 in the morning, Allah's having some drinks before he gets on the plane.
Yeah,
I can't. I'm like, there's no way. Because I'm a control freak on top of it. And when I'm out of control,
I don't like it.
And the slightest bump or whatever, it makes me... just freaks me out. But I won't sit in a car for 4 hours. I'd rather just fly.
Yeah, well...
I'll put myself through the nightmare and go... and get myself drunk enough to get on the plane and then sit and relax.
I've gotten very good with it. One of the things I did, my brother-in-law is a pilot, and one of the things he turned me on to, he goes, Google, I forget what it's called, but you can literally Google, it's a conversation, it's written by a pilot, and it's the conversation that happens in the cockpit during heavy turbulence. Have you read this?
Hold on a second, because we're brothers, even though you're nerdy. I mean, we're brothers right now.
Yeah.
So I used to only fly United Airlines because on Channel 9 of United Airlines is the cockpit. So it relaxed me to hear the pilot speaking to air traffic control, because when it would get bumpy, I would hear, hey, we're getting a light chop. Can we move up to 5,000 feet up? If there's, so it made me feel like, okay, they're because every time you get your meal, they put the fucking plane on autopilot and you're like, who's flying the plane?
Yeah. The thing that was amazing to me was, so I've also now, it's become kind of a joke for me of how the pilots handle the turbulence. Because the last couple times we've flown, it's been not great. And I also do a thing where I would rather take two flights to get somewhere and change planes if the plane is bigger.
Me too.
So I don't take the small planes. I only take the big planes. So that was bumpy last time, and the pilot was very, hey, it's Captain Dave, and we are at 32,000 feet. Just letting you know, we're getting a little chop up here, so we're going to put on the seatbelt sign and maybe have the flight attendant sit down. It's no big deal. We'll try to find some smooth air for you. Bing, not a problem. 2 weeks before, I literally had a pilot that every time we hit a bump just went, seatbelts!
Oh, yeah, my God,
And that was it. And it was like somebody was up there going...
I've had that too.
It came to the point where I wasn't even anxious. I was laughing. Like, really? You're going to just... Seatbelts! That's all I did was just yell seatbelts.
Here's the ironic thing is growing up, I was obsessed with airplanes.
Me too.
I wanted to be a pilot.
And didn't have a problem flying.
Didn't have a problem flying.
Same.
One That's bad experience so in high crazy. School changed
what,
my
what,
life.
What,
I was flying overseas. Eastern Airlines still existed.
Okay. I was on Pan Am. Right.
First problem.
I was going on a high school trip and we were flying to London.
Okay.
And literally we're in a, we fly into Cincinnati, I think. And then from Cincinnati to London, from Orlando, Florida to Cincinnati. Storm in Cincinnati. We take off. It's an L-1011.
Okay, I don't know wow, if you remember. Old school. Yeah, of course.
I don't know if you remember those planes.
Of course I do.
So L-1011, the front of the plane, the audience can't see me do it, but the front of the plane is moving this way, the back of the plane is moving this way, and it's going like this. And not even 5 minutes into takeoff, the whole baggage thing, not like opened, fell. Like half in the front. It like fell.
Like all the compartments?
The whole compartment fell. Screaming at the top of my lungs, a flight attendant rushes over and she like literally like takes gum or something and like tries to push it back. It was a nightmare. We still continued the flight. And from that moment on, I was like, I don't know if I can ever do this again.
Yeah,
I can't do this again.
It's tough.
And then I was working. I was a guardian, like your oldest brother's fraternity, okay. Right?
Yeah.
For the Mickey Mouse Club, the party, the group that came out. So Chase. Right. So that's why I know Carrie Russell.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay.
So Chase, who was on the Mouse Club and the party, his parents couldn't leave work. And I had just turned 18. So I was becoming his guardian for the summer. And we were flying everywhere because they were on tour. And Albert says to me, he goes, I mean, our chances of dying are much better because we were on the plane all the time. And that moment, I was like, fucking A. Like,
it's not true at all. First of all, a plane has never been taken down by turbulence, ever. They also say no matter how much you feel that you're falling, a plane never moves more than 8 feet. So it's like, oh my God, we dropped 300 feet. No, you didn't. And the pilots up there, it's like, again, my brother-in-law's a pilot. He's like, this is what we deal with. Turbulence is just, he goes, there's being in turbulence in a plane is absolutely no different than being in a bumpy road in a car. It's exactly the same.
Know, it just, hit it a pop feels,
it's a control thing.
It is.
It
absolutely.
Totally is. It
but
feels
we've
terrible.
Gotten, I've gotten much better with that kind of stuff. But flying was a big thing for me.
I have to imagine that auditioning.
I don't audition anymore.
Because of the anticipation.
Because of the anticipation. Yeah. And auditioning, is one of the reasons that I left on-camera work. I just couldn't.
So you're not acting at all unless it's offered?
Correct. Or I create it.
So you won't do a stage? Okay. So say you wrote something and the part.
Then I do it. Sure. Yeah, Girl Meets World, that kind of thing. Or, you know,
Girl Meets World in front of a live audience?
It was. And it was wonderful to be there again. And I ran out and I was like, okay, my wife was there with me. And she's like, you're going to be good. And I ran out and I got this huge standing ovation and I just looked over and I saw my wife bawling.
Oh.
And that's when I was like, okay, I can do this. And then I hit the first joke and then it was right
away. It was fine. Well, you know, it's interesting, Will, because when we came to you when we had discussions about you for Hollywood Darlings.
Yeah.
And I said to Jimmy Fox, I was like, I would love to get Will. He's so good and so funny. But I have to be honest with you. I know he doesn't do a lot of on-camera work anymore. So I don't know. We should definitely offer it out. But I'm just telling you, it might be a no. And it's not because of material. I think right. It'd be because he's not comfortable. So when you said yes, I was so excited.
Me too.
And
I was too.
And I have to tell you, you're so funny in the episode.
Oh, thank you. God, thank you.
And you just are. And like every
Most
take.
Most nerds are very funny.
And our show is.
True. And good and bad.
Our show has so much improv. Our show has so much improv. And every take was something different.
I
and
loved
something
it.
Great. And you brought like a different joke at That's the end of every scene.
I
and
fell right back into it. You guys are awesome. You guys obviously knew exactly what you were doing.
That's the kind of show you need to create for yourself.
That would be great.
Because
I mean,
then
would,
you just do whatever you want all day and you're basically writing it on the fly.
Yeah. My wife has really been helpful in the gentle nudge, which is what I need for a lot of things.
What does she do, by the way?
She's a personal trainer.
Huh.
She's a personal trainer.
So
does not train me, so don't hold this body.
How much does she charge? Because I'm not kidding.
He's putting on my baby weight, so.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
No, I am definitely, I'm craving the shittiest things.
I always do.
Since she got pregnant. I have not, I don't know
terrible.
What's, well, she is naming the baby a lot, so it's.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, it's still.
And we're live podcasting the birth.
Sweet.
We are not live podcasting
the birth. We are, so she's
fine. That's awesome.
It's gonna happen.
Tell how you met your wife.
I met my wife because my best friend at the time, Jason Marsden, was dating her niece.
Jason Marsden from the He's in the Business, Jason Marsden.
Yeah.
From Step by Step.
From Step by Step.
Right.
He was dating her niece and he said, you got to come and meet my girlfriend's aunt. And I went, what? And that was 18 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah. And they've been together ever since.
Well, no. We broke up in the middle there for about 8 or 9 years.
Oh.
But we're still very good friends.
Oh.
She went off and did her thing. I went off and did my thing.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Still, I was still at the gym where she was. And
okay.
I still saw her all the time. And then this is another reason why I hate the fact that Blockbuster's gone, because I'm a huge Blockbuster fan. I liked walking through. It's like a bookstore. I liked being able to walk through and look at DVDs and check everything out. That's how I was. So I was returning a DVD when my wife was coming out of Ralph's, and we saw each other again and we talked. And 5 years later, I proposed to her on exactly the same spot.
Oh my
God.
In
front of what is now
the Ralph's.
No, yeah. Well, I wanted to surprise her. So it's the Blockbuster was gone. It's now a FedEx. I took her to just a regular dinner. I knew if I did anything fancy, she'd know it was up. So we went to a regular dinner and I said, you know, there's this new frozen yogurt place. I was just throwing it out there. And as we were walking by, I went, this is the spot we re-met. She's like, oh my God, you're right. And I dropped to my knees.
Aww.
And there was people in the parking lot like clapping as we did it.
So. Aww,
is there a photo of you with the FedEx?
No.
It's such a weird, I mean,
it's,
I think
so,
it's
very
amazing.
Mark Jacobs.
That's how I wanted to do it. I wanted to propose. I want it to be something that was completely different, something that came out of nowhere, and something that mattered to us.
Yeah.
So that's
perfect.
She's a personal, like, where does she work out of? Like, what?
There's a personal training gym where we live in
LA. She does all kinds of.
All kinds of housewives and older people and
great.
Everything around.
I'm not kidding. I want to.
She's awesome.
You need
she's
it.
She's awesome.
I know I need it.
I want to talk really briefly about the 90s before you met your wife.
Okay.
And I know, I mean, you kissed everyone under the sun on the show.
Yeah.
But you have also dated some choice actresses.
That's correct.
Yeah.
One I've worked with.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I just saw Jennifer Love Hewitt the other day.
Let's talk
my
about
first
it.
Love.
Yeah.
Jennifer, I almost called her Jennifer. Yeah, love was my first love. Yeah.
How long did you guys date for?
About 2 years.
What
wow.
years?
Wow.
What years? 97 to 99, 96
that
to 98.
That sounds about right.
Something like that.
Because I did Can't Hardly Wait.
Okay.
I was in that. And I also did.
I did Trojan War right before Can't Hardly Wait. So that's the movie that she and I did together.
Okay.
So, and that's where you met?
We'd met before, because my legal guardian worked at Fox and had met her.
Oh, okay.
And I think she has stories about that, how she tried to come to the set of Boy Meets World and something happened. I don't know. It was very strange. But she was like 15 when I met her, and I was 17.
She's the nicest person. She's like
again,
so
she
sweet.
Was,
such a sweetheart.
She was the first love
she
of my
had,
life.
She had very fond memories of you.
Which
and
is amazing, because I didn't think she even
say.
Remembered we were together.
Oh,
to be
my God. No, she did. She was like, he was like my first boyfriend.
That's awesome. We were for 2 years, we could not stand being more than 5 inches away from each other.
It's so cute.
And that's when like her mom was managing her, I
yeah,
think. Yeah,
yeah. Her mom was managing her and all that stuff. And we literally lived in the same apartment in dueling buildings here in Burbank.
Right.
So she was in 312 and number 400, and I was in 312 and number 360.
Which I think is the apartment I helped Will move into.
You did. You did. You absolutely helped.
Which
me
building?
Yeah.
It was on
North
Hollywood,
Hollywood
Way.
Way. Right here. 360 North
that
Hollywood.
That beautiful
Way.
White building. I always loved that building.
Yep.
It's really pretty. Like very close to Warner
and there's
Brothers.
A matching one on the other side of Oak
yeah.
Street. And that's where
because I lived in Kenwood Mews, right?
Yeah.
Off
right near there.
Okay.
Yeah. Right
that was there. My Vons.
Yeah, that was my Vons. And Lakeside Video.
Yeah.
And,
Lakeside
and
Video.
That awesome yeah. Mexican place that was there.
Don Cuco's?
No.
No.
Oh.
Santa Fe Cafe.
Yeah. And then.
Oh, yeah.
And awesome. Then, you know, Sardo's is gone.
I know.
Sardo's
it's really,
is gone. Oh,
it's very
it's now a
chicken
place.
Chicken place.
Oh,
wow. That was our karaoke spot. Yeah. When we moved into this rental house, it was, we would go over there sometimes and karaoke our nights away to the Sardos.
Wow.
We'd
now
get
you're karaoke
and just,
in for two, which
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah, I know. So now the chicken place is coming in handy.
So that's good. Nice. Yeah, God, love and I. Yeah, we were.
That's cute.
We were very much in love at one point in our lives, yeah.
That's very
who
cute.
Else did you date?
Who else did I date? I dated Jen Morrison for a little while.
Jen any action Morrison. With the Doublemint twins?
No action okay. with the Doublemint twins. That threesomes and me, that's just me disappointing two women.
Any pregnancy
time.
Scares?
That's,
any
that's
pregnancy
that's,
scares?
That's, those are sealed.
Our audience wants to know.
Okay.
No, but yeah, I mean, I you know, my first girlfriend when I moved out to Los Angeles was Jenna Von Oy from Blossom.
Oh my God, you dated Jenna too.
For like the first 6 months I was
who
out here.
I worked
from Connecticut.
I worked with her when she was on Monique's show.
Yeah.
She is the
sweetest. She's the nicest.
Oh, God. I love, well,
and Jenna
it.
And I lived in the same apartment building.
Did you? That's crazy.
So she was older than me. But
that's the thing. When I came on to Hollywood Darlings, the crew was coming around because we were all sitting there like having conversations about like, oh, remember the Tiger Beat thing? And I remember one guy from the crew coming up going, so you guys really all knew each other.
Like, we all knew each other.
Yeah, we all grew
Well, that
up
whole
together.
Circuit was like,
yeah.
We literally, well, you guys were at Disney. We were at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Half of us lived in the Valley. We would see each other at these like charity events these or events ABC or, events.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you knew, if like, for instance, I knew you through, you know, Danielle and I were like contemporaries. So I knew who you were.
Yeah.
You dated Jenna. Jenna lived in my building. I mean,
we all knew Marsden. It was
we all knew Marsden.
It was just, yeah, it was. We weren't like palling around as a group, but everybody knew everybody else.
Yeah. It's
so
weird
it was,
like that.
We did. Yeah. We kind of came up together. We'd have these 16 magazine or Teen Beat, Tiger Beat sessions, where it's you and Jonathan Brandis and Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Zach Ty Bryan.
I wish they would bring those magazines back.
I know.
They're still there, aren't they? Are those?
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't even know.
No. But that was like our Twitter and our Instagram and all of our social
There's
media.
There's something so much It was more beautiful about that than what's happening.
Oh, it was so like banal and sweet. And you would do like a photo shoot and they would do a write up on you.
Yeah.
And that's where fans got their information.
Yeah. And the pictures didn't move. There was something beautiful about the static shot. It was that, I don't know. It was, yeah.
You must have had a lot of centerfolds in those.
I was like the it guy for like a month until everyone went, oh, Ryder's way better looking than him. And then Ryder Strong was everywhere.
Oh, Ryder.
So it was Ryder.
Ryder's
was
a
the guy.
Sweet kid, too.
Oh, Ryder.
So, yeah. Him and Shiloh were so nice.
They're terrible people.
Terrible, terrible,
terrible
people.
Terrible people.
Okay, some rapid fires for you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Before we wrap up here.
Go ahead.
Worst date ever.
Go ahead. Jennifer Love Hewitt, go ahead.
Worst date ever. I
Jenna Von Oy.
Dated one girl who who asked me out herself, which threw me, because that just never happens. And then I went and I met her, and she was covered head to toe in cat hair.
What?
That was not my best date ever.
How long ago?
10, 12 years.
She was a cat lady.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
But covered head to toe, like to a creepy point.
So does she say so?
It was the date itself was fine. We met here in Burbank and we had a cup of coffee. And she's like,
Dimples.
Did you want to do this again? I was like,
maybe if you get a lint roller.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm finding myself. I never dated much, so I didn't really have like horrible dates.
Worst vacation ever. Or worst trip ever.
Worst trip ever. Some of the actual traveling itself isn't great when you're in the midst of a huge anxiety thing.
Yeah.
And like any anxiety thing, there's times where you spiral. And if you have a general anxiety disorder, you have times that are better than worse. So there's times where I have to travel somewhere. It's like, I don't have a choice, but I'm in the midst of not feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get some bad stuff. I luckily, knock wood again, don't have any of those like, and we were locked out of the hotel and I don't have any of those kind of stories, unfortunately.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. And this is not what do you watch any reality TV?
I watch a couple things.
Well,
I watch almost everything cooking related, but for actual crappy people reality TV, the only one I watch is Jersey Shore.
So you're watching the new season?
I am.
Okay, just started.
I watched it last night.
This is the reunion,
Family Vacation.
It's not nearly as good as the original stuff.
So listen, let's talk about it for a second, because I'm curious to know your thoughts.
Okay.
I'm upset there's no Sammy.
I am too.
Why isn't Sammy on it?
Because of the Ronnie situation.
I would agree. She and Ronnie have had a rocky relationship.
So she wouldn't come back.
And she's now with another guy. I think that probably had something to do with
it. Oh, definitely. Because he, more than like I said, you're not go. If you go, then you're
done. Yeah.
So, okay. So, and then.
By the way, I'm sorry not to interrupt, but if you want to have a fun night of getting drunk to the point where you think you're going to die, watch any episode of the original Jersey Shore and take a shot every time Sammy used the word like. You will be unconscious before the first commercial break.
I was gearing up for the new reboot of it. So I was gearing up for the new reboot of it, and I marathoned the old Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so did we. We did the same thing.
Oh, my God. You guys are amazing.
It's brilliant.
Well, you have to, because you got to
Got to get back into it.
Right, because they're going to bring back, you know,
flashbacks.
You got
to know where everybody is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so I was telling you, I've worked for Sally Ann a couple times.
Is she cool?
She's the creator of, I love Sally Ann.
She's a trip.
She's a trip. She is like, got a million shows going at once, you know, has had so many hits.
That's great.
We should get her on here.
I would love to have her.
Apparently, Jersey Shore was doing okay until Snooki got punched in the face, and then it became the biggest thing like on TV.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That first season where that guy who ended up being fired. Yeah. Like, they fired him from his job. And then I just read an article about this guy. I've been Googling, like, all the old stuff. And I guess his, like, father came out going, he's suffered enough. It's like, you literally drunkenly punched a woman in the face at a bar.
Yeah.
You kind of.
On
there
TV.
There isn't enough on you can, TV. That can happen.
And you had to sign a release form.
Yeah.
Which is, you know what I mean? That's where I was like, dude, you signed a release form. Yeah.
But that was the episode, apparently, that made Jersey Shore. What was that one?
They jumped the shark for me when they went to Italy.
Yeah, Italy was a little much. Well, it was also they didn't have to go to Italy because apparently Italy didn't really want them there. So there weren't that many places they could film. So they always went to the same restaurant, the same club, and they were at their apartment because those were the three places Italy was like, you can come there and nowhere else.
Yeah, it's weird because they're all in relationships, so
it's not
they're not going to have grenades and
the best part,
right?
Yeah,
so it's horrible. Like, there's no like competing for the like the smush room,
yeah, right?
You know, because I'm like, so I'm like, what are we going to do? And I'm sorry, and I love her to death because I actually met Snooki and JWoww. JWoww's work, it's like
they both look like they're different human beings.
Snooki, not as much.
Oh, come on.
Not as much.
Oh, they look like all
but JWoww, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, they're
you were like, wow.
I was like, JWoww.
I have a quick question because I am not a woman.
You should not punch a woman in the face.
No, well, duh. But when so these guys treat these women horribly, calling them hippopotamuses, their landmines, their grenades.
Right.
Mike is always going, hey, if you don't want to do anything, get out of the house. I'm not even going to call you cab. Like, they treat them terribly. When is it the women's fault who still want to come back and hook up with these guys?
Because
they've obviously seen the show. So it's like, when do you blame the women going, why the hell would you put yourself in this situation with these men?
I think it's 100. You have to know what you're getting into. There's no person that's going into that house that doesn't see a camera and doesn't know who the situation is.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Okay.
You know what you're getting into.
He had really bad work too.
You think he's going to prison?
Yes.
I think so too, yeah.
He's Teresa Giudicing it.
Yeah.
Giudici.
That's why she's one of the Real Housewives. Right?
Yes, Jersey.
That's my wife likes that. I can't be in the room.
I watch every.
I'll throw I something watch every through the season. Screen.
You're like Brandon.
It is absolutely the quintessential filming of the decay of modern society.
It's
Brandon
the
is
best
like,
thing
why
ever.
Do they keep yelling at each other? Are they still fighting about this?
I want to do something, and I swear you guys should do this because you do stuff like this all the time. I think you could do it on the podcast. I think it would be great. I think if you took a transcript of a conversation between the Real Housewives and then took a transcript of a conversation between two 12-year-olds, no one would be able to tell the difference.
I think you're right. Oh, my God. Listen, that'd be hilarious.
It's horrifying.
I just saw the premiere of New York.
Don't tell me I haven't watched it yet. I'm savoring it.
It's going to be so good.
I love it, but I hate it. And
shoot
I love that
heroin.
I hate it.
And
it's,
Potomac.
It's less bad for you.
And Potomac is really great, too.
Ugh. Yeah. I know. Watch I'm good, the worst.
Watch, the reality shows for
what
me.
What do you mean? Watch MASH? MASH.
Yeah. First of all, MASH is the greatest sitcom in the history of TV.
Listen, I love MASH, but I loved MASH. Like, I don't need to revisit MASH.
But do you revisit The Housewives where you rewatch episodes with these horrible human beings?
Sometimes. No. But I can sit through Seinfeld all the time.
Yeah.
I can sit through Friends.
Yeah.
I don't mind a Maude here and there.
Yeah, great. A Golden Girls.
I can sit through Golden Girls all the time.
Sure.
Like, that kind of writing makes me...
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's
wonderful.
Live.
Yeah.
Fly on the Wall. There's a reason why a fly on the wall is a fly on the wall. I know that you guys think that the Real Housewives are scripted and set up.
I don't think they're scripted.
And to an extent, they are in the sense. But it is so refreshing to see this organic comedy happening without having, you know what I mean? Between women who are supposed to be of a higher, like.
That's my problem is the Jersey Shore gang. Cause everyone then goes, you watch the Jersey Shore. Nobody in the Jersey Shore pretended to be anything but the crappy people they are.
That's
what they do. The Real Housewives think they're classy and upscale people.
Right.
Like, no, I matter to society. These are awful, broken human beings.
Yeah, it's great.
It's human cockfighting. It's literally human cockfighting.
Yeah. It's great.
Throw them into a room and you see what happens, but they have money, so they're just eccentric. No, they're awful people.
They just have more hair and makeup.
Yeah, my wife showed me an article not too long ago where one of them said she spends like $40,000 a month on hair and makeup.
Oh, that's Erica Jane.
It's got to be Erica Jane.
$40,000, that's so horrifically disturbing when you think of the problems we have in this country, that this woman is spending $40,000 a month.
You know who she's married to, right?
I do not. Whoever he is, he's a sucker.
It's okay, so you know the lawyer. You know the lawyer that defended
Aaron Brockovich. No, he didn't defend, but he.
I mean, he
was the lawyer, basically one of the lawyers in that huge case that was
the
documented.
Not the guy
in the movie.
Who what's his name played in the movie.
No, not I don't believe.
Yes. Yes.
He's one of the lawyers. I don't think
he's the main guy.
Okay. Albert Brooks. Who's the?
Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks.
Yeah, Albert
Finney?
Yes.
Albert
that's his
Finney.
Name. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He played the lawyer alongside Julia Roberts. I don't know if he actually played that guy.
Let me look it up. Because...
And again, maybe they're truly in love. I am no one to bash anyone's relationship if that's everyone's got to walk a different path. But you're a, to quote Jersey Shore, you're a sucker, bro. You're a sucker if she is spending $40,000 a month on hair and makeup.
I think now she's probably making some money because
I can't with that. I literally want to take off my boot and beat myself unconscious with it every time that show is
But
on.
Have you seen her contours?
His name is Thomas Girardi.
Okay. Yeah, I can't do it. What we love, we love is like Top Chef. We're big fans of Top Chef.
Yeah.
I love
Deadliest Catch. Great
I
show.
I love Master Chef Juniors.
We're not junior guys.
The Juniors
Master
is
Chef
so
is
fun.
Do you watch Deadliest Catch? Deadliest Catch is to me arguably the best reality show that's ever been made. It's phenomenal.
But I do like Kitchen Nightmares.
Kitchen Nightmares is great.
And I like Bar Rescue.
Did you ever see
I love Bar Rescue too.
Did you ever see the and the one we just found, Talk About the Worst Show on Television. I literally just tweeted about it and they responded to me and followed me back. Judge Lauren Lake's Paternity Court.
Oh, it's great.
Oh
my God.
I don't know
it's
this.
Literally just people going, "He ain't my baby's daddy."
Right. It's Maury Povich, but
is.
In court.
And then just opening the envelope going, "You are the dad." It was like, "I'm never going to watch this." And then Sue and I are going, "Is there another one on right now?"
Yeah, I watch these are the things I have TiVo'd.
Okay.
Right? Or DVR'd.
TiVo'd, I was going to say.
Whatever. I know. DVR'd, whatever. I have Judge Judy.
Great show.
I have People's Court. I have Cheaters. Remember
I'm
Cheaters?
So judging you right now.
Remember Cheaters from the 80s?
Of course.
Well, it's not. They're not redoing them. They're just old episodes that I
God.
And it comes on at like 3 a.m. I have a DVR.
What about Cops? You still do Cops?
I stopped doing. I have a DVR, but I don't watch them. I end up erasing all of them because I've already seen most of them.
Cops
and,
are great.
And I tried watching that Live PD show.
It's not as good.
It's dumb.
No, it's not.
But you know what's amazing? And if you haven't watched it yet, you should. I don't know if you like crime stuff.
So I do.
Marsha Clark Investigates.
Yes. Marsha Clark Investigates
you
the
guys.
Last 48
Really?
Last 48
I like the first 48.
Hours.
Is it like that? Yeah.
It's
great.
So much better.
Really?
She goes back into the Casey Anthony story.
Casey Anthony, Lacey Peterson.
They basically...
Lacey Peterson,
did you see the whole Scott Peterson
Scott
thing?
Peterson.
Yeah.
Where now people are saying there's a chance he didn't do it?
Well...
You see that because of the robbery that took place across the street and there were like...
I haven't watched that episode yet, but I'm sure she's going to get into it.
It was like they just did this whole... It was like an 8-night event about the Scott Peterson trial. And
oh my God,
people were saying like, had he actually been tried like 2 years later in a different place, he never would have been convicted. There were so many people that were just out to get him that no matter what happened. And the whole thing started where my wife and I were like, okay, obviously the dude did it and this is ridiculous. And the whole thing starts with a woman going... Essentially, everything you know about the case is wrong.
So, which one is the Peterson case?
That's Modesto with Lacey Peterson.
No, I'm not talking about Lacey Peterson. What's the other Peterson guy?
Scott Peterson?
The cop who killed two of his wives.
Yeah,
so she did that.
Drew Peterson.
Drew Peterson.
Yeah, so I'm watching
that one. Dude did it.
I'm watching that right now. It's amazing.
Yeah.
This show is amazing.
It's so good. There's so many things that did not get put into that first Casey Anthony trial, either because of the prosecution's bungling of the evidence and it wasn't entered in time.
Still, though, they found the 12 people on the planet that did not convict that girl of killing her kid and then
it's
going
unbelievable.
Home. Can I tell you something? I watched that show. I mean, I watched that trial every single day. I had the app on my phone.
Oh, my God.
So I can get the live
There's
feed.
There's a Casey Anthony app?
They had a Casey Anthony
That's
app.
Horrifying.
I was obsessed with that whole thing.
Yeah.
Because of my roots of Orlando.
Sure.
I had to go.
Do you think she did it?
Yes.
100%.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. The best thing that Florida could have ever done was put those cameras in the jails where they could see their phone calls and stuff. It's like, publicly
All she wanted to do, for 30 days, she doesn't report her child missing.
Yeah. Zanny the nanny.
Are you kidding me?
But there's something so horrible about, again, this is the perfect example of what's wrong with our society right now. We literally just rolled the death of a child and the murder trial of this girl who was obviously unstable, who murdered her kid, into the same exact conversation as Real Housewives and everything, because it's just become reality TV.
Yeah,
I know.
And that's horrifying when you're dealing with something like, again, I was raised by two lawyers. When you're dealing with something like the criminal justice system and it just becomes television, there's something really awful about it.
You know what would be a great con is ex-con.
Oh, my Lord.
Would you go to that?
No, I don't think I would.
No.
You know, when we first started shooting Boy Meets World, just very quickly to bring it back to the Tarantino circle, before Boy Meets World hit the air and we actually had fans, the first bunch of episodes we did were actually filmed and they'd bring in convicts. And that was like our audience were cons.
Stop it.
Swear to God. So like,
that sounds a little weird for a children's show.
Hooting and hollering at like 12-year-old Danielle for two or three episodes. And it was like, let's not do this anymore. So we literally had
They couldn't get an audience?
Yeah, they can't go to the Third Street Promenade and round some people up?
Had convicts. Yeah. So that was to bring it back. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Pretty horrifying.
Oh my
God. I think an ex-con would be kind of cool.
I don't think it would.
You'd be the only one.
Yeah.
I don't want to go.
Well, the one that I went to with you is pretty much like that.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Yeah. Will, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, God. Are you kidding? This has been great.
So you just joined Instagram.
I did
six days ago.
How many followers?
I'm over 52,000 now in 6 days.
Holy
Can you believe
shit.
That?
Yeah.
I know.
Why can't you get us that?
I'm not that popular.
A lot of it came, I've took off, like I had like 1200 followers the day I joined, and I took off in a plane, and Danielle, while I was on the plane, like Instagrammed, you got to follow Will. And by the time I landed, I had 30,000 followers.
All right. Well, we got to make sure that Danielle does that for us.
Okay.
She will.
I mean, he has a lot of fans, clearly.
Well, you're going to.
And now that people know he's on.
I'm going to what? No.
Yeah.
I have no intention of posting for him.
Well.
Of course. But I'm learning how to do it.
Yeah. His first post is amazing.
I don't understand it.
Yeah. I'm still learning. My first post was pretty great.
You're like, I think I'm getting the rules, right? Here's a picture of my food. Here's my dog. And here's an inspirational quote. This is what you do, right?
All in one picture. Yeah. I had everything. Yeah. I thought that was kind of neat.
Did you know when I started Instagram, I didn't realize that it was a public forum?
What,
so I thought it was just a cool to just to like a cool way to take pictures with cool filters and like save them.
So you didn't realize
like doing
you're
bikini
actually
shots
this out to the
stuff?
World.
That's correct.
Ooh,
friends.
That could have been real bad.
I know. Quick. I did not put anything out. I didn't do anything salacious, but I was taking pictures of like Hawaii and the mountains and like a leaf and like, but no captions.
Right.
You can still see them. It's like the very first post and there's like 20 of them.
Awesome.
And I just didn't know what I was
doing.
Well,
I talked to Christy about it, who's like Instagram professional.
Yes, she is
and
a
her
professional.
Husband, like know what they're doing.
I'm not a professional.
Christy, who's Christy?
Christy
Carlson.
Oh.
But she has a blog and she has a thing. Like that's her whole thing. I
don't know any of that.
I don't have enough
bandwidth
for
that. I like Twitter because I love trying to be pithy. That's my favorite is mastering pith.
Yes.
I always think to myself, how amazing would, Abraham Lincoln or Mark Twain be on Twitter? So that's kind of like what I like to do.
But that's where Twitter is.
Are you kidding? Mark Twain on Twitter would be insane.
You think Mark Twain would tweet?
I think he would.
I do.
A Twain tweet?
A Twain tweet.
He would Twain. Because he's awesome. So yeah, he would.
All right. Well, tell us where we can find you on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm at Will Friedle on Twitter.
Spell it.
@WILLFRIEDLE. And then @official Will Friedle on Instagram.
Why? Someone else had it?
A bunch of people had a bunch of different Will Friedle things. And I just got my check mark. So I was very happy.
Oh, good.
I got checked yesterday.
Now you're verified.
So that's
you're
a
real person.
But, so come join me. And then if you want to have a ton of fun, come watch my show, which we did not talk about, Painter's Guild on Alpha.
Oh, right.
Which is a ton of fun.
So okay, tell us about that really
Painter's
quick.
Painter's Guild is you talk about nerddom, your head's going to explode with nerddom. I literally host a show on Alpha where I am talking.
What's Alpha?
Alpha is a like a pay platform. It's like it's created by Geek & Sundry. yeah, who does Critical Role and Tabletop
okay.
Will Wheaton and a whole bunch. It's started by Will Wheaton and Felicia Day. So it was awesome.
So wait, where do you shoot it? Like, where do you shoot it?
Right here in Burbank. There's this big Geek & Sundry studio right here. I have a beautiful set, and I have professional painters come in, and they teach me how to paint minis.
Minis of what?
Like miniature figures that you use in tabletop games.
It's nerddom.
That's the show?
That's the show, and it's become hugely popular. There are Crystal Brush Awards around the country where it's literally huge award shows based just on painting minis. And you'll get a lot of professional painters come in that paint 2 millimeter minis that are they're the tiniest little things that are perfectly detailed. So we've just finished up season 2.
Oh my God, you're blowing his mind right now.
13?
Holy shit.
12, 13? Well, the last one finished with not only are we learning how to do what's called kit bashing, which is a ton of fun, which is where you take different pieces from different minis and you put them together to make one mini. But also we took an awesome trip to... he's laughing. It's true. We took an awesome trip.
I'm so confused.
Awesome. You should watch it. A trip to Stupid
How
Buddies.
How can we not get a show and he's going to fucking hit show on about minis?
It's awesome.
Minis.
It's because nerd.
So wait,
man.
Is it just you that's being taught?
Yeah. I sit there and professionals come in and we've got little cameras and I'm learning how to paint and do all that stuff. It all started because I tweeted a picture of a mini for my first home D&D game that was so horrifically bad that Marisha Ray, who's on Critical Role and is one of the creative directors of Geek and Sundry, called me and said, can we do a show where we teach you how to do this right? And I went, yeah, definitely. And the last one ended. We had an interview with Seth Green and Stupid Buddy. Everybody over there came on and it's been a ton of fun.
Oh my God, I love it.
Do you make money on this show?
I do. Not a lot, but it's still fun. I do it because it's fun and I get to
We got
to
get on the alpha.
I don't know that you're nerdy enough for it.
No,
you just said you're
enough.
Not nerdy.
And you've made fun of nerds too many times this time.
Yeah.
Maybe we do a show where they teach me how to be a nerd?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. That's but the good. Hashtag, we're Bob Rossing it. So the hashtag on Twitter, if you send in your pictures, is Happy Little Minis.
I love that.
So it's, and there's people are sending them in from all over the world. They're really amazing.
Do you
it's
have like awesome. A mini like room?
In my own home, no. I have a little section where I want to paint, but the set is phenomenal. Where
I
we paint.
Bet.
But what do you do with all the minis?
It depends on what, like the ones we do on the show.
Yeah.
We take amazingly close up pictures of them. And
but what do you do with them? Are they
you
just
play, them you right play now. With them?
Yeah.
Are they not displayed or anything in like a glass case somewhere in your?
They are Geek and Sundry, but the minis that you play, these are all minis that you play with for characters.
Oh.
Yeah.
At least it's functional.
I can promise you, you would play one episode, one game of Dungeons and Dragons, and you would call somebody going, when are we playing again? I promise
all
you.
All right. Well, let's set that up.
Yeah. You'd love it.
I would love it.
I play four houses down the street. Literally. Play four houses down the street. You know who we play with? It's Steve Bloom, Mary McGlynn, Shiloh Strong, the rapper Logic, Brian Foster. We're all in one game. It's the greatest thing in the world.
What happened to like poker?
Well, this is the new poker,
yeah,
my friend.
Poker.
This is the
I've
new
never
poker.
I'm a fan of poker. I never understood. Also, it's like you're televising poker, really?
It's really good.
But I also never got televising celebrities dancing. I never got that.
Well, I never got televising painting minis.
Well, but you haven't watched. You haven't watched. Did you like Bob Ross?
What?
Bob Ross?
The painter.
With the big hair.
The afro.
Oh, yeah. That, he had that PBS kind of show.
And it's like relaxing. And
very soothing.
He did like landscapes.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
That's all that Painter's Guild is. It's relaxing and zen. And we're painting little minis. It's very, very nice.
I love it.
How long is an episode?
Like 20 minutes? 22 minutes?
And are you talking about other things besides minis?
Well, we're joking around as we're doing it, but it's all about the different painting techniques.
So tell us where we find it, Alpha?
It's on Alpha. It's go to projectalpha.com. It's like $4 a month. There's some great shows on there. And people are loving it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I want it. I want to learn how to paint a mini.
Thank you. I'm a professional nerd. And I'm telling you, for somebody with anxiety, there is nothing more zen than sitting there and painting a mini.
I don't have the patience.
Well, if you are dealing with anxiety, though, one thing you should do if you don't have the patience, the single greatest thing I ever did in my life, buy yourself a box of crayons and a coloring book. It will change
your
life.
Oh, I've got one for you.
I don't have the patience.
You don't have the patience. You just sit there and the smell of the crayon brings you right back to childhood. You relax almost instantly.
I have a box for you. It's a coloring book of Hollywood Darlings. It has my face in it.
I have it.
Yeah, why are you using it?
I have it already.
I'll give you one.
All right.
I have it.
Color.
Can we come visit your studios?
Sure.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
I got
to
meet the nerd people.
You should. They're the greatest people.
And really, we should pitch the show, Teach Me to Be a Nerd.
It's the greatest thing. You shouldn't have to know to be a nerd. It's just be inside of you.
He just doesn't. He's never dipped his toes in. He's never been to the cons. Yeah. He's never done the RPG table games.
Right.
He just doesn't
video
get
games
it.
Or anything like that?
I mean,
I don't play video games, so that's not.
I mean,
my thing.
I play on my phone. I play Angry Birds. I play poker on my phone, and I play Words with Friends.
So no.
Okay. Right. Yeah. You're like
books,
a 60-year-old woman.
Fantasy novels.
No.
Anything.
No.
Nothing nerddom. Did you ever have anything nerddom growing up?
No.
Nothing.
You were in show choir. That's pretty nerdy.
Yeah, I was in show choir and stuff, but that's normal.
I feel like you could be a closet nerd and just not know it.
Huh?
I feel like you could be a closet nerd and just not you know a lot of musical theater and you also have sang in like jazz bands. That's like kind of nerdy too.
Kind of, but it's a different type.
But it's music.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different type of nerdy.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
All right.
Will, thank you again.
Thank you. Right,
give me those tags again because I don't want people to miss out. At Will Friedle.
At Will Friedle on Twitter and at Official Will Friedle on Instagram.
And you can check out Will's episode of Hollywood Darlings. It just aired, but make sure you go to Pop or Pop.com or YouTube Red or Hulu or Amazon Prime, all those places. And you can download his episode. He's in the very first episode, and you're going to see a lot of fun 90s throwbacks, and you're just wonderful on it. So thanks again
Thank
for doing
you.
It.
I appreciate that.
And thanks for being on the show.
Paint a mini and send a picture to Will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do all the time. Yeah.
You can find me on all social at Yo Laken.
You can find me at Alec Led. Don't ask. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
And you can follow Worst Ever at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC on Twitter. And email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, we have a live show coming up April 29th.
7:30 p.m.
Gary Marshall Theater with the lovely Danielle Fischel. And you can get tickets at GaryMarshallTheater.org. She's lovely.
She's the worst.
We'll see. Come and check it out. Find out for yourself.
And then go get a Bob's Big Boy after.
Woo-hoo! And then paint a mini.
Original Bob.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.